Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhale Shmari Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Prasadane Narvashe. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Sivar Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Franciscan Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 5 verse 21 Iti Vyavasita Rajan Aryasva Ekachetasa Prayayustam Parikramya Pankanam Ani Vartanam. Thus, Vyavasita, being fully convinced, Rajan, O King, Aryasva, sons of Prajapati Daksha, Ekachetasa, all being of the same opinion, Prayayu, left, come, Narada Muni, Parikramya, circumambulating, Pantana, on the path, Ani Vartanam, which does not bring one back again. Sukadeva Goswami continue, my dear king, after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Haryasvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, we're firmly convinced they all believed in his instructions and reached the same conclusion, having accepted him as their spiritual master. They circumambulated that great sage and followed the path by which one never returns to this world. For apart from this verse, we can understand the meaning of initiation and duties of a disciple and spiritual master. The spiritual master never instructs his disciple, take a mantra from me, pay me some money, and by practicing this yoga system, you will become very expert in material life. This is not the duty of a spiritual master. Rather, the spiritual master teaches the disciple how to give up material life, and the disciple's duty is to assimilate his instructions and ultimately follow the path back home, back to Godhead, from whence no one returns to this material world. After hearing the instructions of Narada Muni, the Haryasvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, decided not to be entangled in materialistic life by begetting hundreds of children and having to take care of them. This would have been unnecessarily entangling. The Haryasvas did not consider pious and impious activities. Their materialistic father had instructed them to increase the population, but because of the words of Narada Muni, they did not heed that instruction. Narada Muni, as their spiritual master, gave them the Shastric instructions that they should give up this material world, and as bona fide disciples, they followed his instructions. One should not endeavor to wander to different planetary systems within this universe. For even if one goes to the topmost planetary system, Brahmaloka, one must return again. The endeavors of karmis are useless. waste of time. I want you to endeavor to return home back to Ganya. That's the perfection of life, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita. From the highest planet, in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. The one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear king, after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Hyasas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in his instructions and reached the same conclusion. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumnavigated the great station, followed the path by which one never returns to this world. So Narada Muni is given instructions which instruct the individual to pursue the spiritual path rather than the material path. Daksha wanted his sons to produce progeny, which means they have to have large families. This, of course, is the duty of Daksha because he is a Prajapati, one who increases the population on the planet. So he's justified in doing so. And we see a case previously of Priyavrata. He also was disinclined to take up family life and create a line of kings descending from Manu. Eventually he was persuaded to take the family life, and he did so for many years, and then he renounced later on. In the case of the Haryaspas, they don't want to enter household life at all, and they are following the instructions of Narada. Narada, of course, is a brahmachari, so his inclination is always to encourage people to avoid household life, etc. That's his usual instructions if a person is not married. So that kind of hint he is giving here to the Haryasvas. So the Haryasvas take this instruction and they decide that they will not get married, and instead they will follow the advice of Narada Muni rather than their father. Now both are considered guru. Daksha, of course, because he is the father, so he is an elder and a guru in one sense. And Narada Muni, because he, of course, is Shaktivesh avatar of the Lord, is also giving spiritual instructions. So there's a choice of who to follow. Follow the order of the father, or follow the order of Narada. So the Haryasvas choose Narada's instructions. This, of course, is understandable, because of the greater potency and authority of Narada. He is an authorized instructor of bhakti. He is given shakti by the Lord. That shakti is bhakti shakti. So he's able to impart devotion to the jivas of this material world. And he's authorized to do so by the Supreme Lord. So the instructions of Narada, therefore, will be all spiritual. Daksha is also authorized by the Supreme Lord. As a Prajapati. A Prajapati is also a Vibhuti of the Lord. A Vibhuti is also empowered by the Supreme Lord, not to the extent of a Shaktivesh avatar, but temporarily he's given some position and powers. So Prajapati Daksha also is authorized by the Supreme Lord, but his authority is not on the same level. His authority is not in bhakti, which is purely spiritual, but in filling the universe with people. So this is quite a different type of authority given to Prajapati Daksha. So that is also authorized by the Supreme Lord. But that type of activity is much inferior to the instructions of Narada Muni. So it is understandable that the Haryasvas would follow after Narada Muni and disobey their father. So where there is different instructions, who do we follow? So we should follow the higher instruction, not the lower instruction. And there's no offense in doing that. So normally, of course, to disobey the parents is considered very wrong. But Prabhupada previously quoted from Bhagavatam that a father is not a father, a mother is not a mother, etc. If They don't give instructions how to get out of material life. In other words, if all their instructions are how to get entangled, we don't have to follow those instructions. So that is exactly what Prajapati Daksha was saying. You get married and have a lot of children. So this is entanglement in material life. Certainly is also authorized by the Supreme Lord to increase population, but it's not spiritual. It's an inferior instruction. Whereas the instructions of Narada Muni are purely spiritual. Bhakti is a purely spiritual process, not contaminated by any gunas. And Narada Muni, of course, is empowered by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, his instructions are superior. Of course, we see that in the case of Priyavrata, who wanted to renounce, he did not ultimately renounce because Brahma himself said, do not do so. At the same time, though he practiced family life and was the king of the world, he was still successful. He was able to somehow incorporate the instructions of spiritual life and also advance. So ultimately, though material life is contaminating, one can still practice the instructions that Narada Muni gives while in the material world. So it's not that it's either one or the other. It can be done in both cases. However, some people find the life of renunciation more favorable, and they choose that. Lord Chaitanya's instruction is it doesn't matter. Everyone should practice in any case. And that is also the instruction in Canto 2 of Bhagavatam. Whether one has no desire or one has all desire, one should worship the Supreme Lord. So the important point is not so much the ashrama as the process of bhakti. And if we do that, we can be successful, whether it is in married life and creating progeny, or simply solely practicing spiritual life. Both paths are allowed in the process of bhakti. So that is the special quality of bhakti, that all people can practice it. And the varna and the ashram are not considerations for bhakti, whereas they are with jnana and karma. Varna and ashram are considerations, but that is not so for the process of bhakti. So, of course, generally, even these devotees in the Bhagavatam who are following the varna ashram system, the great kings and their descendants, generally they do follow the varna rules also, ashram rules also. So they are kings as grihastas, then they renounce and then take vanaprastha. So generally they do follow the varna ashram system also. But nevertheless, they can all practice bhakti. And no ashram or no varna is excluded from the practice of bhakti. So we find great examples of persons who were kings, or kshatriyas, they were grihastas, and at the same time they were great devotees. So we find Swayambhuva Manu himself, we find Ambarish, we find Dhruva, and so many other kings were great examples of devotion while they were following their household lives. So the Bhagavatam itself gives many examples where it does not really matter which ashram or varna one follows. In terms of jnana and yoga, generally it is a brahminical activity, not a kshatriya or a vaishya or a sudra activity. Because one must study Vedic literature, one must have a sense of detachment. One has to be in sattva-gun. One has to renounce. So, therefore, the varna is a consideration, brahmana, and the ashrama is a consideration, the sannyas ashram.
So these are ideal for those particular processes. But in the case of bhakti, it doesn't matter. So because of the potency of bhakti, it has effect in all conditions. Bhagavatam goes to the extremes position of even saying that without the varnashram system, which is propagated by the manus who are authorized by the Supreme Lord, even without that, the devotee succeeds more than a person in the varnashram system. That is the chandalas, or the malachas, or the dog eaters, whatever, swapacha. They surpass the brahmana simply by chanting the name of the Lord or remembering the Lord's lotus feet. So therefore the power of bhakti is much greater than any other process, and therefore whatever varna ashram or lack of it is there, still the process of bhakti works. Generally, because many of the rules are favorable, a person can practice parts of that system and the rules while discarding those rules which are unfavorable, such as worship of devatas and the karma kanda and all that sort of thing. At the same time, if one does not have the opportunity for some reason to practice those rules and regulations, still, it doesn't matter. One can be successful in the process of bhakti. So then we have cases like Haridas Thakur, who was beyond the system. He was condemned as outside the social system. But Lord Chaitanya said, you are Namacharya. You are the example for chanting the holy name of the Lord. So he achieved perfection in chanting without assistance of varna and ashrama at all, or any of the rules of that system. The practice of bhakti is beyond these considerations of, you know, varna, ashrama, etc. And that is because of the great potency of bhakti.